As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yes, the sun is arising over Missouri, folks. It's time once again for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air all across America. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Monday, June the 1st. Get that wrong on my little sign-up chart here. June the 1st, 2009, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local. We're coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. You also have a little website you might want to visit today, www.vocallocal.org. If you've been there in the past, you've seen it all. I don't update it much at all. In fact, I hardly ever touch that website. But the purpose of that little website is to give you an access to Plan B, a little outline of what it is to become vocal local, and just a few other things. There's also an article there that I put together in regards to the illegal alien invasion of our country. Anyway, you might visit that little website, vocallocal.org, if you haven't seen it yet before. My name is William Roberts. I've got some good news, I think. Hard facts, certainly, and we might even advance a solution or two today, although my solutions are always coming from the standpoint of political realism. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. We're all scratching our heads trying to figure out what happened to that pursuit of happiness. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Most of what we're going to get into today, after we cover the news and the market reports, is going to be philosophical radicalism at the most extreme levels. We're going to go into Karl Mordecai Marx and all of the various and sundries coming out of the French Revolution, so you're not going to want to miss that. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and be a part of today's broadcast. You can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone and call now for those with unlimited long-distance access, or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air, or to choose option two, I think it is, there from the call board, and take Oracle with you live on your mobile phone. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org, and boy, is my email box brim full. I thank them all for that, for sending those in. A very interesting reading over the weekend. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri. That's Box 96. Out of Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. A big shout-out to Liberty Radio Owensville, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Gentlemen, all thank you for broadcasting. Become a vocal local in your areas. Again, the website is www.vocallocal.org. The listener call-in number is 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Gold nears the $990 area in early trading. The dollar weakens. Manipulated markets all over the place. We're going to talk about that. Revolution and counter-revolution, causes, effects, intellectual revolution, Karl Mordecai Marx, Frederick Engels, the proletarian lessons, so much to cover. Anyway, let's go into those market reports for Monday, June the 1st, 2009. Active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was off by 30 cents. What a manipulated market. You've never seen anything like it. Anyway, gold was trading at $979.30. Silver was off 2 cents to $15.70. We'll talk about that on the other side. Amazing things happening in the markets today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Right, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, we're right here on Monday, June the 1st, 2009, 6 months, starting our 6 month in 2009. Our two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name is William Roberts. As I started in the previous segment, active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. A marvel of financial market manipulations going on all around us as I speak. Gold was trading off then at 30 cents to $979.30. Silver was off 2 cents at $15.77. A little bit less manipulation happening here. Platinum was up $23 at $1,211. Palladium up $2 at $237. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, $978.30 for a low, $989.80 knocking on that 990 mark for a high. And that was happening at 990, just right in there, just before the bell opened. And it was immediately slapped down into this 980 mark. There's a $93.20 year-on-year gain. Even at the 979, of course, we would have been $103.20 had they let it alone at standing at 990. As it stands right now, it's a 10.52% return on your investment year on year. Not bad. London gold fix this morning, $987. You can see that it, as it was coming out of London, it was trading right up close to the 990, came into the New York, the bell opened, and dropped immediately down about 10 points. But anyway, We'll see how that goes. Gold spot market's going to close in 7 hours. The Dow Jones, another little bit of manipulation going on. I don't know how many of you were watching on Friday. I certainly was, going into the closing bell. The Dow was trading between 83.75 and 84.25 all day on Friday, the 29th there. And at about 3:45 p.m., it began to jump, and it drove all the way up to 85.25 around 4 p.m. to close at 8,500. So the probably the president's working group on financial markets and the rest of these master blasters of the financial world got in and jumped all over that one, too. Just couldn't let it go through the day where it was really at, which was far lower than what it closed at. Again, anyway, this morning, gold was trading between 8,980 and 9,90 over the weekend, and then it was hammered down at the opening bell of the New York trading. So all of that. Let's go into the dollars, the financials, if you will. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 97 points on Friday at 8,500. The NASDAQ was up 23 points to 1,774. The S&P closed up 12 points at 919. The U.S. dollar index, here's the real troubled place. Off another 67 basis points so far in the morning trading, running around 78.77. So we're definitely below the 80. We're down below 79, just barely. Will it go lower today? It very well may. And it's got the world watching. Crude oil trading up $1.43 in the morning trading so far at 67.74. We've talked all about the USDX now. You should know about it. The crude, we've given you that before. It's back in the archives. Go look. Check it out. Find out why we report these indicators on a daily basis. They're very important. It's like a different form of money. Anyway, let's go into the foreign exchange rates. This is where the real deal is happening. At the Canadian dollar was up 0.75%. In other words, it's almost up 1% against the U.S. dollar. Trading, the multiplier is 1.0826, trading at 92 cents U.S. The Mexican peso was up 0.30 or a third of a percentage point against the U.S. dollar. Trading still at 8 cents, but the multiplier there is 13.0910, which is a strong move upwards. The euro up 23, it's 0.23%, 23 basis points, you might say, 23 points. Trading at $1.42, at 0.7046 is your multiplier there. The British pound, the big winner here, up 1.01% on the U.S. dollar. The multiplier is 6104. The British pound is trading at $1.64 U.S., so you're going to have to dig deep in your pocket. The British pound has been moving strongly upward and upward and upward the last week or so. The Swiss franc just kind of dogged along. It was the only indicator here that was down 0.03%, very little bit of a decline. The multiplier there is 1.0671. It's trading at 94 cents. The bonds I didn't pull off today. So anyway, let's go back here and look at these again. This basket of currencies is driving the whole system. And we're seeing that they're up across the board and that the U.S. dollar is declining. Let's look at how that's happening, what the effect that's having on the markets. This off of out of the United Arab Emirates, Emirates Business 24/7. Gold hits a three-month high on the weak dollar. Gold hits a three-month high on Monday, helped by a weak dollar and concerns about rising prices after governments around the world boosted spending trying to rescue their economies from the global financial meltdown. Other commodities, such as oil, have also extended gains, and we saw that gain there. $1.43 jump upward in gold or in crude oil to 67.74. Other commodities, such as oil, have also extended their gains on a brighter economic outlook. I don't know what's so bright about it. Another reason fanning fears of a medium to long-term inflation, traders said. Gold market reaction was muted to news that GM will file for bankruptcy. We'll talk about that in a moment. Dropping down a bit further, talks about gold. We've talked about that. U.S. gold futures inched up. Yes. Here's a quote. Gold is rising because the dollar is weak. The economy is stabilizing, supposedly, and interest rates are low, said Ronald Leung, director of Lee Chong Gold Dealers in Hong Kong. Here's another quote. There is too much hot money around as governments are printing money, and one option is to put that into stocks, and the other is to put it into gold, he said, adding that it was just a matter of timing before gold prices rose above the key $1,000 mark, and boy, was there a lot of talk about that over the weekend. Here's another quote. People think it's just a matter of time that inflation will come, Leung said. And I agree with him. Absolutely. I think the freight train of inflation is coming down the pike. It's right around the bend to us now. We can see the light shining on the trees. And we ought to be facing that freight train coming on us and at us at the in the marketplace any day now. Gold rose to $1,005.40 on February the 20th. Blah, blah, blah. And we've heard that over and over again. The dollar edged up against the euro after dropping steeply on Friday. The dollar had hit a five-month low against a basket of major currencies as investors bought higher-yielding currencies and assets on hopes for global economic recovery, blah, 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 goes on. So you can see that the investment flows here, here's one more, investment flows into the world's largest gold-backed exchange-traded fund, the SP or Gold Trust, have remained unchanged since May the 22nd. So we keep looking for that to fluctuate and them buying more. Here's a little bit more. I just picked several of these off. Let's see if they're all together. Yeah, just a couple more. In regards to this gold, Ghana, first quarter gold output up 9%. This off of Reuters, June 1st, New News, Accra. Ghana's gold output in the first quarter of 2009 was 675,151 ounces, up 9% on the first 3 months of last year, while higher world gold prices pushed cumulative mining revenue up 11% to $641.2 million. We'll pick that up on the other side. Stay with us.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
And we're back once again right here on Become Vocal Local, going into this market report a little bit deeper here. I'm going to share with you a couple more blurbs out of about gold and why we're paying attention to it and why the world is looking at it in regards to this weakening and declining dollar and the financial tsunami globally. Speculators boosted their holdings of U.S. gold futures, with non-commercial investors net long on 177,308 contracts of gold futures in the week to May the 26th, compared with a net long 149,584,000 contracts in the week ending May the 19th. So you see there's a considerable jump up there as people are getting involved in the long positions on gold futures. This off of Reuters again. Ghana, first quarter gold output is up 9%. We talk about gold, we're not talking about this funny money, this stuff that's just printed out of thin air. In order to bring gold to the marketplace and add it into the marketplace, you've got to add your labor, you're going to have to put capital in it, you're going to have the land, land, labor, and capital, all those three magic physiocrat elements that are measures of true wealth. All that has to go into the mix. It's not the same as just creating digital wealth. Let's go on into this again. Ghana's gold output in the first quarter of 2009 was 675,151 ounces. You see how it works? You can actually count the ounces. You can, you know, stack up the little gold bars. You can count all of the ounces. It's up 9% on the first 3 months of last year, while higher world prices pushed cumulative mining revenue up 11% to $641.2 million. Ghana, the world's number two cocoa producer, is also Africa's second biggest gold miner after South Africa. It produced 2.6 million ounces of the precious metal in 2008, when total mining revenues were $2.2 billion. There are prospects for increased output in the gold subsector this year, said Jürgen Eigendahl, president of the chamber. That would be the Chamber of Mines. The resources are available. The mines are putting in more, and we should expect production to go up. There's really no shortage of gold on this planet. It's the extraction of the gold and the technology required and the new innovations that will be necessary. I mean, there's so much gold in the Rocky Mountains and all of the quartz, it would stagger the mind. But in order to get gold out of quartz, that's another story. It takes a little bit more work. So the costs of bringing it to market are much higher, and that's not going to work in a $20 an ounce gold market. People just will turn their back on it. But as the prices continue to go up, you're going to see more and more people coming into the mining sectors, and so we'll pay attention to that. Bauxite shipments also went up 41%, earning the country 49% more in revenue. But manganese, very important for steel production, output fell 30%. Gold accounted for 96% of Ghana's minerals revenue last year, so that's out of Africa. Many, blah, blah, blah. This one off of, out of Mumbai, India, the Live Mint article. India's domestic gold demand remains subdued as traders awaited a correction in prices, which rose to the highest levels since the 13th of May, tailing overseas markets. You know, India, as I've said before, is one of the world's largest, if not the world's largest buyer of gold. And they have holiday reasons and wedding present reasons why they are so excited about gold. But as the prices begin to step beyond the reach of the average man, their buying is going down. Other people are buying more of it, like China and other countries and central banks and so on. But again, the most active contract, August contract was up 0.32% at 14,932 rupees per 10 grams at 2 p.m. after having gained 2.5% in the previous four sessions. Overseas gold, which guides the domestic market, hit a three-month high above 980 per ounce, buoyed by a weak dollar, while investors kept an eye on inflationary pressures in the wake of stimulus spending by governments. Now, here's something about the Mumbai marketplace for gold. Here's a quote. The volumes have dried up even though we are in the midst of wedding season, close quote, said a dealer with a state-run bank in Mumbai. In other words, they buy these gold bangles as wedding presents. And maybe they give them as dowries, or they, I don't know how they do it. That's their business, not mine. Quote, most of the traders who had bought gold in recent weeks are finding it difficult to dispose of the inventory, added the dealer. Dealers said gold demand had receded after having picked up in the first 2 weeks of May. And if you remember, that's when the prices were down. Following better than expected Ashkaka Tritia sales. Well, that was that auspicious day holiday to buy gold. Anyway, a drop in prices could activate the domestic markets, dealers said. I have some advance orders in the range of 930 to 940 an ounce, said Pinakin Vyas, the chief manager treasury with Indus Industries Bank or something like that. Anyway, just to give you a little bit more of a global perspective on this, here's something else. This is a rather lengthy article. This came off of the gold report this morning, Vancouver, B.C., important psychological level. Gold at the $1,000 door. Here's an intro paragraph. It says, gold investors know all too well the psychological importance of $1,000 gold, and at 980, it's awfully close again, according to John Kaiser, the editor of the Kaiser Bottom Fishing Report. Quote, we're getting very close, close quote. An interview with the Gold Report. Here's an interview, and I'm not going to read it all. I copied it all off the internet and printed it out just because it was very illuminating and good for me to know. But it goes along this line. This is a reporter, interviewee, interviewer type of an expression. The Gold Report asks, John, you have said that you believe gold may go to $1,300 to $1,400, but probably not higher. Can you give our readers an overview of how you achieve those targets? John Kaiser responds. He says this, I think we're ready for a real increase in the price of gold, which is why I'm looking at more modest targets, such as $1,300 to $1,400 an ounce, happening fairly quickly, probably bouncing plus or minus $200 or $300 around that level. But it's a real price increase, without a corresponding catastrophic collapse in the U.S. dollar or hyperinflation descending upon us. See what he's saying there? It's a real price increase in gold, regardless of the economic scenario. What time frame are you looking at? They ask him. John responds. He says, I think we're getting very close. I think we're knocking on the door of $1,000, which is a very important psychological level. I would say in the next 6 months, as people realize that the banking system is still in trouble and will be for a long time because an uptrend in real estate prices is not in the cards for a very long time. And in order to make the bank solvent, the underlying collateral needs to have liquidity and a stable price. I'm saying that in the next 6 months, the realization will kick in that the world has changed in a significant way. And the United States is losing its role as the overwhelming economic superpower and will continue to do so over the next 20 years as other countries such as China and India come into their own and pick up the slack that's created by the collapse of consumption right now. Notice it's the collapse of consumption. This is this idea of economic, sustainable economic and environmental development that we talk about, Agenda 21, the collapse of consumption right now. If it breaches $1,000, John continues, I think it will very quickly go to the $1,300 to $1,500 level and establish that as a new base. What I'm arguing is that the uncertainty about the next 20 years is going to encourage more and more people to put part of their wealth into gold and keep it there. This expansion of investment differs, investment demand differs from the situation we had back in the 1980s. Back then, we had a tenfold increase in the real price of gold from 1972 to 1980. And part of that was because the gold's value had been artificially suppressed through the gold standard. And once that was removed, we had a slingshot reaction and gold adjusted to a price 10 times higher. There were mines being shut down in the 60s because their costs kept rising while the gold prices remained fixed. Then all of a sudden, we had new technology in the form of heap leaching and new economies of scale that unleash an enormous amount of new gold supply. You always have to look at that new technology that comes on it. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution. How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back, and we're just diving into this article deeper and deeper here, this important psychological level, an interview between the from the Gold Report, between a man named the Gold Report and the John, and their reporter, and a man named John Kaiser. John Kaiser. We'll find out a little bit more about John Kaiser in a moment. Back into this article, his response, continuing. He says there were mines being shut down in the 60s because their costs kept rising while the gold price remained fixed. Then, all of a sudden, we had new technology in the form of heap leaching and new economies of scale that unleashed an enormous amount of new gold supply. Remember, we've been going through all of this history, if you will, followed through this concept of anarchy, but we came through the Commercial Revolution, went into the Intellectual Revolution. I'm almost very, very close to being done with this history text, 1,083 pages of it. I'm going back rereading various sections of it, but in this, we find out all about the Industrial Revolution and so on and so forth. But just wrap your mind around the concept of the big change when McCormick's harvester came along and they had a device that they could pull through the fields and they could harvest up to six to eight acres of grain a day with this little machine drawn behind a horse, as opposed to a whole herd of people out there with scythes. Well, as technologies change, it gives us the opportunity to extract quantities of metals previously heretofore impossible. There were similar huge changes in Alsace-Lorraine when the method of extracting iron out of low-quality ores made the deposits in Alsace-Lorraine a prize to be fought over between Prussia and France, for instance. As we change our technology and our ability to extract resources from otherwise difficult or seemingly poor supply stocks, things happen, and as it did there. Continuing, during the 1980s, the new mine supply of gold was 42 million ounces, which was actually lower than the 48 million produced in 1970. It rose steadily after that, peaking at 82 million ounces in 1999, when gold was also under pressure from official selling by central banks and indirect selling through the gold carry trade made possible by gold leasing. From 1980 through the last year, gold producers added 1.9 billion ounces to the above ground stock, bringing it to about 5 billion ounces today. This article was posted today, Monday, June 2009. So what we're looking at is about 5 billion ounces above ground today. But mining costs, John continues, have kept going up, and the annual mine supply has been declining since 2004. Now, here's a question back to John. If the gold price continues to rise, but costs remain stable, wouldn't one want to invest in the gold production companies? And the answer here from John is yes. In the last 4 years, the gold producers have not actually done very well despite the recovery from $260 to the current level. We've had a base metals commodity boom that drove up the cost of producing gold at a much faster rate than the price of gold was increasing. On an inflation-adjusted basis, $400 gold in 1980 today should be about $1,000. The rise since the low of 2001 is not a real price gain, it's just a catch-up. But in the current deflationary environment, another 30 to 50% boost in the price of gold would be a real gain that has a profound impact on the bottom line of gold producers. Now, if you're not familiar with the gold stocks and the gold shares, you should be watching them carefully if you have additional revenue or reserves that you want to invest, if you've already secured your bullion, your Bible, your all of that stuff, if you've already taken care of your immediate needs, and there are immediate needs, very real and present immediate needs. You might check out Kurt's Armchair Survival broadcast right here on Oracle and find out some of your immediate needs. But if you've already taken care of that, there are tremendous potentials for profit being made right now in the gold miners, as they say. Continuing here, for companies that have deposits that are marginal when gold is at $600 to $700 an ounce, you wouldn't dream of putting them into production with gold now at $925 to $950. But at $1,300 to $1,400 an ounce, with the cost staying at $600 an ounce for production, all of a sudden there's a huge margin available to be tapped. So you would see a rush of capital going into these deposits and companies and producers to develop these ounces in the ground and turn them into cash flow, which, of course, the market will use. The market will use its discounted cash flow models to put a value on. And the key thing is, he says, is to see that there is a real increase in the price of gold and the sense that this is now the new reality, not just a temporary spike that will correct and drive gold back to down to, say, 600. Now, the article continues and it's lengthy. And again, like I said, I've copied this all off, and I'm going to set it in my file, and I'll refer back to it and keep track of what's going on. It gets more complex as it goes on. It talks about the engineering necessary to bring the gold to the ground, all of the various players. It's talking about how big hands are coming in, and they're buying up the lessers. It's talking about some of the smaller miners improving their systems and verifying their assays so that they can be attractive. The big hands are buying out the small and so on and so forth. But we can see that there's a very definite interest into securing gold and putting it into the marketplace at a much higher level than it has been in the past. There's no confidence in the paper dollar. There's no confidence in these stock market phony baloney stuff. Just to give you an idea about the phony baloney stuff in the stock market, this is the article off of Bloomberg. GM files bankruptcy to spin off more competitive firms, and this by Linda Sandler, Chris Cinta, Bob Van Voorhis, and Jeff Green. It's official, folks. June the 1st, Bloomberg. General Motors Corporation, the world's largest car maker until its 77-year reign ended last year, filed for bankruptcy protection in the United States with a plan to create a 21st century company that can compete in world markets as of today. Now in bankruptcy, filed bankruptcy. GM reported $82.29 billion in assets, $172.81 billion in debt. The U.S. government will bankroll the transformation of the 100-year-old automaker, a victim of tumbling sales and higher gas prices. The U.S. plans to convert much of its $50 billion of loans to a 60% stake in the new entity, administration officials said. Today's filing coincides with the deadline for GM to convince the government auto task force that it could reorganize out of court through debt and cost cutting. It's been a long time coming, but the reality of GM bankruptcy is still a bitter pill to swallow. It's a bit like the Titanic sinking, said Stephen Pope, chief global strategist at Cantor Fitzgerald in London. Cantor Fitzgerald. Quote, this is a step that should have been taken more than a year ago, which could have put them in much better shape before the economy went down. Close quote. Detroit-based GM is the largest manufacturer to file for bankruptcy, surpassing Chrysler LLC. The carmaker plans to launch a new company in 60 to 90 days, armed with vehicles from its Cadillac, Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC units for the U.S. market. A federal bankruptcy judge would supervise the sale or liquidation of unprofitable brands, such as the Saturn and the Hummer, and at least 11 unwanted factories. Well, it's a long article. Again, something to read. It's available on Bloomberg. You could go there and read the whole thing yourself. It talks all about the history and whatnot, and a lot of hanky-wringing, and there ought to be. I've got a 1961 General Motors truck parked in my driveway, runs like a top, built like a rock. I love that thing. Four-wheel drive, unstoppable in almost any weather condition. But that was built back in the days when we built cars in this country. You open the doors on it, you won't find any plastic inside. There is no plastic. It's all steel and phenolic resins, etc., heavy-duty Naugahyde seats and so on. None of that mouse cloth crap that you have to be so careful of getting in and out of. Why would you even put that inside of an automobile or a truck? It's like having a set of living room furniture in there, and the first time a child comes in with an ice cream cone, the whole thing is destroyed. Anyway, as everybody knows, Timmy Geithner went to China. Timmy goes to China. Geithner tells China U.S. will tackle its budget deficit. This by Rebecca Christie, also off of Bloomberg New News today. Treasury Secretary Timmy Geithner told China that the U.S. wants to shrink its budget gap as soon as an economic recovery takes hold. When that's going to happen is anyone's guess. Reassuring the nation that it is the biggest holder of U.S. government debt. I'm sure Timmy's comments were reassuring. We'll pick that up on the other side, folks. David will be right back.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
And we're back once again right here on Become Vocal Local. Going into this article off Bloomberg, Geithner, Timmy, little Timmy, goes and visits with the Chinese, crawling on his knees, no doubt. Here we go. Let's finish this out. It says the U.S. goal is a deficit of roughly 3% of gross domestic product from a projected 12.9% this year, Geithner reaffirmed today in a speech in Beijing. And Geithner's maiden visit to China's Treasury Secretary aims to deepen cooperation in dealing with the global financial crisis. In meetings with Premier Wen Jiabao, President Hu Jintao, and Vice President Wang Qishan. Now we're gonna have to use our memories here on this one because it's difficult to separate between Wen, Hu, Wang, and you. Not you, but Wen. Who? Wen. Hu, Wang. When, who, you, Yang, when, or who. That'll be difficult, but we'll try. Continuing, U.S. government debt has this year handed investors the worst loss since at least 1977 on forecasts for ballooning deficits, and when, not who, not you, not who, but when. And when has expressed concerns about the safety of China's dollar assets. Here's a quote. The Chinese public is worried about the safety of its foreign exchange reserve, said you. Not you, when, or who. It was who. It was you. Yu Yongding. Ah, there we go. A senior researcher at the government-backed Chinese Academy of Social Sciences and a former central bank advisor. You, not who, but you. You continues, if America fails to adjust its economy by increasing its savings rate, and reducing its current account deficit, another financial crisis triggered by a dollar crisis should be inevitable. You said in an email, not you or who or when, but you. Yang Ding, that's who, not who, you. Oh, okay, I'm trying to figure this out. China held about $768 billion of treasuries as of March. For the fiscal year that ends September the 30th, the U.S. deficit is projected to reach a record $1.75 trillion from last year's $455 billion shortfall, according to the Congressional Budget Office. That would be the CBO, huh? Sustainable deficit. Geithner said that China's investment in U.S. financial assets are very safe and that the U.S. is committed to a strong dollar. I guess Timmy doesn't read the news. Here's a quote from Timmy. We're going to have to bring our fiscal deficit down to a level that is sustainable over the medium term, Geithner said. This will mean bringing the imbalance between our fiscal resources and our expenditures down to the point, roughly 3% of GDP, where the overall level of public debt to GDP is definitely on a downward path. Did he say anything? Did who understand it? When? Or you? The U.S. will need to phase out the tax cuts and bank rescue programs set up to help the economy recover from a deep recession. To phase it out? Yeah, Timmy. Spending cuts also will be needed, along with health care reform and new budget constraints like as the pay-as-you-go rules. The global economic recession, quote, seems to be losing force, although recovery will be long and slow process, he said, acknowledging General Motors factory closures and its corporate China organization being announced today in Washington. China's manufacturing expanded in May. Two reports showed today in response to the country's 4 trillion yuan or 585 billion stimulus package announced last year. Avoiding a showdown. In his prepared remarks, no doubt very carefully scripted, in his prepared remarks, Geithner repeated the U.S. desire for a more flexible yuan. Now we have a flexible yuan, and who, and you, on who, and when. My goodness. I hope he was carefully scripted. Maybe he had an interpreter. He has avoided a showdown on the issue, declining to repeat comments he made in the written remarks to lawmakers after his Senate confirmation hearing in January that China was, quote-unquote, manipulating its currency. Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? Or who? Or you? China has stalled gains by the yuan against the dollar since July last year after the 21% increase that followed the scrapping of a fixed exchange rate 3 years earlier. The Chinese currency traded at 6.8283 per dollar as of 1:56 p.m. in Shanghai today. In his remarks, Geithner said China needs to shift its economy to rely on more domestic demand than exports. Now Timmy is telling China what to do. Here's a quote. Allowing the market, interest rates, and other prices to function to encourage the shift in production will be particularly important, close quote, he said. Listen to this guy now. What is he advancing? Laissez-faire? Free markets? Allowing the market, interest rates, and other prices to function to encourage the shift in production will be particularly important. Now, if he would advance this policy for the Chinese, would he bring it home and advance the same policy through the Federal Reserve? There's a little bit more from Timmy. An important part of this strategy is the government's commitment to move towards a more flexible exchange rate regime. More flexible, Timmy, as the dollar continues to tank. When you're the weakest hand in the game, Timmy, you don't go around telling other people how to run their marketplaces. The Chinese yuan is advancing considerably beyond the U.S. dollar. So who, when, and how? Anyway, in comments after his speech, Geithner said, very successful efforts, close quote, by U.S. banks to raise new capital will provide a, quote, much larger cushion against future losses. Geithner will meet tomorrow with when? No, it's going to be tomorrow. Who? In March? No, not who. Who? Who in March? When in March? Not you. Who? Called for the U.S. to guarantee, quote, the safety of China's assets. Geithner said who? No, not who. You. No, when? Geithner said who? And President Barry the Usurper agreed in April to establish a strategic and economic dialogue that will be held in Washington next month. He and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, dog, will host Vice Premier Wang and Dai, a state counselor. Anyway, going to be interesting. Going to be interesting as the Chinese move to the forefront here. We're going to have to go back and revisit our language and understand some of these names. But it's amazing to me how many of these names in this article just really raise... I don't know. Has anybody ever listened to Abbott and Costello? I've got the album. I should have just recorded the thing and played it as a soundbite or something, but it really sounds like Who's On First here. Anyway, we've got some very interesting things we're going to cover in the next hour. I have an original copy here of Germany, Revolution and Counter-Revolution. We've started this from the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences last week, reading a lengthy article on this same title, Revolution and Counter-Revolution. We came across Revolution and Counter-Revolution when we were studying From World Civilizations by Edward McNall Burns. But I have an original copy, paperback, Germany, Revolution and Counter-Revolution by Frederick Engels, right here in front of me, International Publishers, New York. This was published when? This was published in 1933, printed in England by the Garden City Press Limited, Letchworth Hertz, in all departments. And I'm going to share with you some readings out of this. And in addition, I also have in front of me here a copy of Proletarian Lessons by John Karacker. It's a 25-cent priceless little booklet. And this was originally published in... with no date. It was originally copyright with no date that I can see here at all. Nope. But it is very old. And it has a handwritten in here, Workers' Party, Los Angeles section. But this, the Proletarian Lessons by John Karacker, was probably, well, I don't know, this is probably a 1910, maybe, somewhere in that area, publication. And if I was to read it very carefully, I might be able to find dates that would indicate precisely when it was published. But it's very interesting as well. We get involved with this philosophical radicalism and all of the various revolutions and counter-revolutions. We're experiencing counter-revolutions and revolutions today. We have a revolution, an economic revolution that is happening. We have economic counter-revolutions that are happening, coming from various sectors. So anyway, the plot's going to thicken. We're going to pick this stuff up with some more intellectual material on the other side. Do stay with us for our second hour. We'll be right back.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Newest documentary film, The Secret Right, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations. More secretive than the Bilderberg Group. The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at SecretRightMovie.com. That's www.SecretRightMovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
We're going into the depression today.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, June the 1st, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We are coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Check out the home page here for Oracle Broadcasting. It's at oraclebroadcasting.com. Also got a little website, www.vocallocal.org. You might want to log on and check that one out today. My name is William Roberts, and we started in the first hour with our market reports and basically took the whole hour on the various news. There's a lot of news out there today, economic issues, as the whole economic tsunami continues to just melt down globally. Nevertheless, covered all of that in the first hour and just mentioned a couple of the things that we're going to look at here in the second hour. We're going back to a deeper study of revolution and counter-revolution. Causes and effects of the various intellectual revolutions, the industrial revolution, the commercial revolution, all the revolutions and counter-revolutions that have brought us up to where we are today. And there are a variety of source material in my library that I've pulled out here and have strewn all over my desk, but some very interesting stuff. Perhaps material that you've never seen or heard before in your life. And I know that when I came across them, they were just blessings, if you will, adding to my storehouse of knowledge. And if I just keep it all to myself, of course, it's of no value. So this is a little book, a booklet. It's a gray, kind of like cardstock cover booklet, stapled. It has, let's see if I can see, 63 pages, 64 pages, counting everything in it, 65, maybe 60, I'll bet it is exactly 66. It's titled Proletarian Lessons. It was written by John Karakter. Glancing through it during the break, I can find no dates in here that would give us any indication that this is a 20th century publication. This may very well be late 1800s. It's faded, it's yellow. I got it through a socialist bookstore in Mission District in San Francisco. And anyway, it's rather interesting because these are basically the kind of lessons that you would teach. These are the kind of material that you would hope to pass out, let's say, if you went around. This was at a time before the DVDs were there. So instead of giving somebody a copy of Freedom to Fascism, Aaron Russo's DVD, or some other one out there, you would hand them one of these little booklets. This is the Proletarian Lessons. This is straight-up communist Marxism. Absolutely, straight-up. And so it begins this way. It has what is the class struggle? Then it goes into what is the state? What is working class political action? Revolutionary political action and the labor movement? What is proletarian education? And then it closes with what is Marxian knowledge? Now, in the past, on other broadcasts, I've read this entire booklet, put it all out on air. It's one of these days when I have my website updated. I'll put those archives out so that you can listen to the entire booklet. I'm not going to go through all of it today, but let's just start in here and get a flavor for what this is about. Proletarian lessons. What is the class struggle? Proletarian lesson number one. What is the class struggle? Is it something that simply exists in the minds of certain people, or is it a condition that has been brought about by agitators who have stirred up strife between capital and labor? These and many other questions may be asked as a result of the current misconceptions and misrepresentations of what the class struggle really is. Of course, There are many people who maintain that it is simply a myth, as classes in society do not exist, but others admit that it may exist in other countries. But we'll have to pick that up on the other side. There's the break. Be right back.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for mortgage fraud examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, welcome back to our Monday, June the 1st, 2009, two-hour broadcast. As we begin in our second hour here, we come to you Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. A little bit distracted what I'm reading here. But my name is William Roberts. This is Become Vocal Local. I'm reading out of a little booklet here. It's called The Proletarian Lessons. It was written by John Karakar. Don't have a date when it was written, but this is very old material. Not only by the way that it's written, you can tell it, but also the fact that there are absolutely zero dates to give us any clues. The paper itself is a clue to me that this is either late 1800s or very early 1900s. Nevertheless, let's continue. These and many other questions may be asked. This is in regards to what is the class struggle, proletarian lesson number one. As a result of the current misconceptions and misrepresentations of what the class struggle really is. Of course, there are people who maintain that it is simply a myth, as classes in society do not exist. Others admit that it may exist in other countries, but there is no such thing as a class struggle in quote-unquote free America. It is my purpose here to give as brief an outline as possible of the social phenomenon that is universally known as a class struggle, and in subsequent lessons, I shall try to explain the different aspects of the struggle and the nature of the social arrangement and institutions that arise from the struggle of the classes. First, remember that the class struggle is not a mere theory. It is a social condition. It is something that is going on all around us. It expresses itself in continuous conflict between different social classes. You remember from our study of the French Revolution, the three estates, the commoners, the nobility, and the clergy. Remember from our study of the commercial revolution, we had the bourgeois, the proletariat, of course, the entrepreneurs, and then we had the absolutists, the monarchs, that were set up to protect the commercial interests, the rise of capitalism, and all the rest of this. The forms and the conditions of the conflict may change from time to time, again from our booklet here, but the conflict itself is continuous. At times, it is more or less recessive, almost peaceful again. It may be violent in certain districts or in certain industries for a period of time. Remember the rise of labor unions and all the struggles that went on there, the beatings, the killings, etc. In its higher stage, it takes on the form of civil war. Go back and remember the French Revolution and the storming of the Bastille and all of that, and all of the anarchy that we've studied. The English Civil War in the days of Cromwell was just the natural outcome of a great class struggle. It was a struggle between the aristocracy, which were the Cavaliers, and the rising capitalists, the Roundheads. Now, what is a Cavalier and what is a Roundhead? The Cavaliers were largely those that were supporting the established crown, if you will, in Parliament assembled. They wore their hair long, wore wigs. But the rising capitalists, these Protestants, shave their head or cut their hair short, hence the Roundhead. With victory for the Puritanical, the Puritans, the Puritanical capitalist. The American Civil War, obviously this was written post-1860s, the American Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression or the War of Secession, etc., was a class conflict also. And here again we can remember that the class conflict here expressed in this American Civil War was against the capitalist interest, those that had wealth in capital seeking outlets in industry of the North, and those in the South who had wealth in land seeking outlets in agrarian pursuit and other things going on. Two different styles or two different classes of people. The American Civil War was a class conflict also. It was a struggle for political control of the USA, a struggle between the slaveholders of the South. Now that's kind of an aspersion that needs greater understanding, but we'll give it to him and run with it. The slaveholders of the South and the industrial capitalists of the North, with victory for the latter and the elimination of the former as a class. Not quite true there either, but we'll give it to him. What do you expect out of the Marxist? What is the daily aspect of the struggle? He asked another question, proletarian question here. In its higher forms, the class struggle manifests itself politically, but in its elementary forms, it is economic, and it's always economic. Follow the money. Spent the whole first hour on economics. I would much rather dive into the more interesting philosophical radicalism of the past and projected into the future, but economics drives the day. Follow the money. Its simple outline is a daily conflict between employers and employees. The worker struggles involuntarily, although sometimes consciously, to get a higher standard of living, and the employers struggle to keep down the worker's standard, not from mere maliciousness, but in order to obtain higher profits. There's a certain amount of truth in that paragraph. What is good for the capitalist is bad for the worker, and what benefits the latter usually injures the former. Again, we listen to everyone, we read anything, but we have to prove everything in our own research, so That is a real poisonous little sentence, but I'll give it to him. He wrote it. It is plain that if the worker gets more wages, the immediate effect will be that the capitalist has to get along with less profit. Some, quote-unquote, economists tell us that the more wages the worker gets, the more profit does the capitalist make. Certain labor leaders, when making a plea to the capitalist, use the argument against the incessant efforts of the employers to cut down wages. If the claim were true, the capitalist would be raising wages all the time, as every increase of pay would bring a corresponding increase of profits. Now, there's an awful lot in that little two-paragraph inclusion answering the question, what is the daily aspect of the struggle? We'd have to get into the labor value, you know, surplus value, and all the other various and sundry economic models that brought us up all the way through from the 1500s all the way through to the 1900s. And there's as many different models as you can shake a stick at. The individual, he continues, the capitalist is an individualist, and individually, as far as his individual business is concerned, but the worker is also an individualist as far as his individual pay envelope is concerned, and generally speaking, neither the one nor the other is governed by altruism. They do not act for the good of mankind, nor even for the benefit of other members of their own class. Now, if we study our history carefully, we would see that we've got people mentioned all over the place inside of this particular very short paragraph. But when we think about individualists and individualism, that is another branch of philosophy, and it is a major theme that has been carried and written for years and years. But there's a key phrase in here that lets us know, at least it gives us a date. Generally speaking, neither the one nor the other is governed by altruism. Well, altruism is a word that was coined by Auguste Comte. So this is post-Comtean Marxism. We'll be right back.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And we've returned right here on Become Vocal Local. We're looking at Proletarian Lessons by John Karakar. We're in the first Proletarian Lesson. We're talking about class. Class! Wake up! Class consciousness. If either capital or labor combines into a class and acts class consciously, it is because they have learned that their individual interests can best be advanced in that manner. Individually, they are weak. Collectively, they're strong. Both classes, therefore, organize their forces for no other reason than the advancement of their individual interests. The capitalist on one hand, the entrepreneur, the industrialist, and all of those, the captains of finance and industry, they all work together and form the collective groups, the American Bankers Association, the American Bar Association, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateralists, the Chambres du Commerce, all of the Merchants' Leagues, etc. And then you've got the labor unions. And you've got the auto workers taking a major position, if you will, now in GM. But collectively, our author writes, they're strong. Both classes, therefore, organize their forces for no other reason than the advancement of their individual interests, like a seesaw. What makes the conflict a class struggle? Question mark. The fact is that a very large number of people having a common need, more pay for instance, combine, and another class of people with needs in common, more profits say, act in the same way. The result of those opposing interests is a struggle between classes. Those two great social classes, each trying to do the opposite, bring about a condition of constant struggle. This is what we mean by the class struggle, and it is something born out of existing conditions and is not the result of preconceived dogmas. And we saw in the rise of mercantilism, that working in tandem, as we broke up all of the various guilds and as more people became independent producers, and we were coming off the feudal system, away from the nobles and their vassals, we find that the mercantilists and the early commercialists were developing relationships, alliances, with this new absolutist regime known as states or statism to protect the interest of the capitalist against the people, against the worker. And it was a long time before the worker ever got any kind of a leg up. In fact, it was not into the 20th century, even here. Let's go further a little bit. Proletarian Lesson says how to tell a class. A class is not a biological development, nor is it a condition of nature. Capitalists, for instance, are not all of one height or weight or race or color. Nor are they alike mentally. Some of them are smart and others are very stupid. Some are spendthrifts and some are misers. Most of them are parasites. Very few of them would be missed. A class is an economic alignment. It's a social thing. Again, going back and keying in on this word, altruism, the importance of Auguste Comte and the creation of the science sociology cannot be underestimated. Positivism is a working element in all of this. The real way to tell what constitutes a class is to observe how vast numbers obtain their income. The Chinese Wall, which divides the people of America and other capitalist nations, is an economic one. All the people on one side get their income through profit, interest, or rent, and those are the capitalists. On the other side of the wall are those who get their income in the form of wages. They are the proletarian. And I ask you again, as we've mentioned last week, if you believe that you are middle class and you're getting your, you denominate your income, if you will, by dollars per hour, think again. Middle class is a much different thing than most of us have been led to believe. But you're just simply proletariat. Even if you're making $100,000 an hour, there's 2,080 hours a year in a work year, including a two-week vacation. So you just take that $100,000 and divide it out, what is it, $50 an hour. Last time I had my little trip to a dentist, which I loathe, despise, and detest, he wanted $60 to extract a rotten tooth. It was falling out. My papa would have done it for free with a pair of pliers and put 25 cents under my pillow, but this pilfering bandit in the medical profession wanted $60 for the extraction, $60 for the visit, and $10 for the x-ray, which I declined. I didn't want the x-ray. Adding insult to injury, the tooth was so loose it was virtually falling out. Anyway, he still denominates his time in dollars per hour. Hardly middle class. It's proletariat. How do I get my income? Just ask yourself this question. How do I get my income? If it comes from interest or dividends, or from the profits of a business, or from rent, then you must be a capitalist. But if you're depending upon the contents of a pay envelope, you are certainly a proletarian, a modern wage worker. Class struggle, a political struggle, the last section in this first question. The struggle of the two great classes, bourgeoisie and proletariat, capitalist and workers, wage workers, is basically an economic conflict. It is a question of bread and butter plus a few cheap luxuries for the one class and a desire to hold and, if possible, increase these. With the other, it is not merely bread and butter, but great and expensive luxuries of all kinds, such as limousines, yachts, mansion houses, high-grade clothes, and other wonderful products of labor, too numerous to mention. To hold and increase these luxuries at the expense of the producers is the chief aim of the owning class. That is the elementary nature of the struggle, but it is much, much more complex in its form and operation. The class struggle would never get beyond its elementary economic status, but for the fact that the rich have at their disposal a highly organized institution for the purpose of maintaining their privileges, for preventing the poor from taking possession of the industries, and putting them under the control of society. This powerful institution is the state, more commonly called government. And we'll pick this up again in the future. Fascinating reading, because we've tried to make a distinction here between nation, government, and state on this broadcast as part of this study that we're doing. And so finding out what is the state from the proletariat lesson standpoint will be useful. Now, leaving that behind, and I'll just simply note that now that I've opened up revolution and counter-revolution and have it on my table right beside me under a strong lamp, just the same as his proletarian lessons, the pages are just as yellowed in the one as they are in the other, and the pages in the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, also open here under the same lamp, are just as yellowed, and the ink is of the same caliber, and the typeface is all the same. So I would put all these books in the 1930s, and of course, looking here from the Marxist Library, the Works of Marxism and Leninism, Volume 8, Germany, Revolution and Counter-Revolution, by Friedrich Engels, New York International Publishers. This was published in 1933, as was the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, so perhaps Proletarian Lessons was also published in the 1930s. Here's an editor's preface out of this book, Germany, Revolution and Counter-Revolution by Engels. It begins this way, London, September 1851. But we'll have to pick that up on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Right back.
Now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, so we have returned once again, looking at this booklet here, Revolution and Counter-Revolution in Germany. Very interesting. Let me just jump to the preface. I was going to start in another place. I won't. Marx was asked in the summer of 1851 to write a series of articles for the New York Daily Tribune on the German Revolution. The request came from Dana, the foreign editor, who had met Marx at Cologne during the Revolution, and was impressed by him as the most outstanding and authoritative of the leaders of the great revolutionary movement of 1848 and 1849. Marx was busy at the time on his book Critique of Political Economy and asked Engels to write them for him. Moreover, at this time he only knew English very imperfectly. Engels consented, wrote the articles in Manchester, England, of course, and sent them on to Marx to be edited and dispatched to New York. Although, therefore, Engels must be rightly considered their author, Marx took a big part in their preparation, for in their almost daily correspondence, the chief points were thoroughly discussed between the two. The collaboration in the New York Tribune thus begun was continued until 1863, and though Marx himself wrote most of the articles after the end of 1852, when his command of the language allowed it, Engels continued to help and contributed scores of invaluable articles on political and military affairs. Now, it continues and it talks about the rest of the lead-up or the roll-up of these writings. But here, in the first section, Germany, Revolution and Counter-Revolution, Marx and Engels in collaboration wrote this on London, posted London, September of 1851. The first act of the revolutionary drama on the continent of Europe has closed. The quote-unquote powers that were before the hurricane of 1848 are again, quote-unquote, the powers that be. And the more or less popular rulers of a day, provincial governors, triumvirs, dictators with their tail of representatives, civil commissioners, military commissioners, prefects, judges, generals, officers, and soldiers are thrown upon foreign shores and, quote-unquote, transported beyond the seas to England or America, there to form new governments in partibus infidelium. European communities or committees, central committees, national committees, and to announce their advent with proclamations quite as solemn as those of any less imaginary potentates. Now, it's an unfortunate scenario, but it's the way it's going to have to be, that I can't share everything out of this World Civilizations textbook on air. Far too much material. Take us months. Nevertheless, there are sections in here where our author Edward McNall Burns gives detailed information about these mass exoduses from Europe and from the Eastern Europe, or the Eastern Bloc, if you will, into the United States of America and into countries all around the world as they spread this poison internationally, the international socialism on roller skates. Continuing here from this article, this letter, if you will, a more signal defeat than that undergone by the Continental Revolutionary Party, or rather parties, upon all points of the line of battle cannot be imagined. But what of that? Has not the struggle of the British middle classes for their social and political supremacy embraced 48? That of the French middle classes 40 years of unexampled struggles? And was their triumph ever nearer than at the very moment when restored monarchy thought itself more firmly settled than ever? The times of that superstition, which attributed revolutions to the ill will of a few agitators, have long passed away. Everyone knows nowadays that wherever there is a revolutionary convulsion, there must be some social want in the background, which is prevented by outworn institutions from satisfying itself. The want may not be yet felt as strongly as generally as might ensure immediate success, but every attempt at forcible repression will only bring it forth stronger and stronger until it bursts its fetters. If, then, we have been beaten, we have nothing else to do but to begin again from the beginning. And fortunately, the probably very short interval of rest which is allowed us between the close of the first and the beginning of the second act of the movement gives us time for a very necessary piece of work, the study of the causes that necessitated both the late outbreak and its defeat, causes that are not to be sought for in the accidental efforts, talents, faults, errors or treacheries of some of the leaders, but in the general social state and conditions of existence of each of the convulsed nations, that the sudden movements of February and March of 1848 were not the work of single individuals, but spontaneous, irresistible manifestations of national wants and necessities more or less clearly understood, but very distinctly felt by numerous classes in every country, is a fact recognized everywhere. But when you inquire into the causes of the counter-revolutionary successes, there you are met on every hand with the ready reply that it was Mr. This or Citizen That who betrayed the people. Which reply may be very true or not according to circumstances, but under no circumstances does it explain anything, not even show how it came to pass that the quote-unquote people allowed themselves to be thus betrayed. And what a poor chance stands a political party whose entire stock and trade consists in a knowledge of the solitary fact that citizen so-and-so is not to be trusted. Now, there's a lot in that we could benefit from by reading it over and over and studying, and perhaps you could go back to the archives and listen to that paragraph again a time or two. But there is a lot of finger-pointing, blame game, naming, and things that are going on at this time period as we're trying to see who betrayed whom, and Mr. This or Mr. That or Citizen This or Citizen That. But nevertheless, there are powers in high places and low places at work in this revolution and counter-revolutionary time that we find ourselves again living in. And we need to be aware of that greater movement and not fixated upon the individuals. As I like to say, if we can correctly diagnose and isolate and treat the disease, all of the various symptoms and victims will be taken care of. We have a much greater super social disease that is bothering us right now, metastasizing as it is in the very body politic, that is not indicated by the individuals and the symptoms and the various victims of this process. The super socialist global disease, if you will, positivism in my opinion, is such that if it is allowed to continue, it will surely kill the body politic in short order. Some knowledgeable people are looking at a major incident within the next 2 to 4 months. I'm not one of those, but we'll see what transpires. Certainly every incident that's been happening since Barry the Usurper came to power has been major. The inquiry into the exposition of the causes, both of the revolutionary convulsion and its suppression, are, besides of paramount importance from an historical point of view, all these petty personal quarrels and recriminations, all these contradictory assertions that it was Marriott or Ledru Rollin or Louis Blanc or any of the other members of the provisional government or the whole of them that steered the revolution amidst the rocks upon which it foundered, of what interest can they be? What light can they afford to the American or the Englishman who observed all these various movements from a distance too great to allow of his distinguishing any of the details of operation? Now, what are we talking about in all of this? Basically, what we found here during the French Revolution, it was a major upheaval and a great loss of life, but welcomed the new boss the same as the old boss in a very short order, and then the rise of Napoleon, posing as the savior of the people, the man who arrived on a white horse, if you will. And unless we get hoodwinked into the same process, failing to learn from history, we might find ourselves dealing with a man in a white horse with black cat very soon. We'll be back. Thank you.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at SecretRightMovie.com. That's www.SecretRightMovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for mortgage fraud examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
And we are back, and we have a caller online. Let me bring up the caller now. I have a Mayo. Mayo, are you on the line with us?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes, question.
Is that me?
Yes, it is. Thanks
Hello.
For calling in. Question, well, comments?
Well, the well, am I on the air, or I'm just talking to...
Oh, you are most certainly on the air. I have no screeners here. We do all the production.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate this, Mr. Roberts. So, I'm really confused. You read so well, and it's very illuminating, but then it seems like you twist it so that you call capitalism socialism and give it a dirty name, you know? Don't you think that the rising to the top, as Marx said, is controlled by the government? The government is the ultimate holder of capitalism, and that's what's happening?
Well, that's
We're not turning socialist at all.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
Why do you just keep swiping it like with a black rag, like socialism? It's capitalism gone berserk, which is what he said it would do.
No, I don't think that that's what I'm saying. But let me just share with you how that develops, and it's important because in the rise of capitalism, if you will, as we transitioned from basically guilds and feudalism, where the manufacturers, the small manufacturers, some of the tradespeople, some of the people who are bringing natural resources to the marketplace, they started breaking free of the feudal lord system of guilds and so on and so forth. And as they did that, they began to have power. And as the lords were looking for them for money, they began to desire more and more power because as all of the dollars started to concentrate in their hands, the nobles were then made weak. And so, in a desire to make their businesses grow, they began to bring up or establish the kings, and the rise of statism then began at that point. And so what we have is a problem in that all the way up through mercantilism, all the way through the Industrial Revolution, all the way through the rise of modern capitalism and monopoly capitalism, the worker has always been basically put down, if you will. And so then out of that rises up these various groups. They're socialists, some of are communists. We've talked about anarchism. And so this is kind of the thread that I'm developing, and I don't think that I'm painting the capitalist as a socialist. By no means is he.
Well, I think you are, because you're saying that the government is going socialist, and it's not. It's capitalist all the way.
Well, I would disagree with that in some regard.
And I think, what do you think about GE? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, government taking over GE, that's capitalism. That's government. That's government taking the ultimate, you know, swing at a lower form of capitalism.
Well, I think that
why do you always badmouth socialism? Why don't you say the word capitalism in its proper context? That's what's going on now. It's not socialism.
It is not capitalism. What it is, it's corporatism. It's fascism. It's the
well, it's corporate capitalism. Oh, you avoid the word capitalism. You act as though you're you're fighting capitalism, but you're defending it all the way. And it's just so twisted. And it's more twisted and subtle because you do quote, and you use books, and you use hard facts, and then you twist them, and it's not right.
Well, define capitalism for us, would you please?
No, it's defined. We've lived with it so long. If we can't define it anymore, that's because we're just so immersed in it. You know, how can a person define water when they're drowning?
All right. How about socialism? Can you define that, even simplistically?
Simplistically, it is the product of the nation for the good of all. It is from those who have, what does it say? Wait a minute, or you know what it says.
Yes.
Those who need, according to their need, from those who have, according to their ability.
Correct.
From those who can, according to their ability. Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with it? No, that's an accurate definition. Is that what's wrong with that form of
government? Well, it's the definition. It's classical.
Yes.
It's a classical definition.
Yes.
From each according to his ability to each according to his need. What's wrong with that?
Well done. Now, what is wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
You advocate socialism. You like that idea.
Yes, I do. Oh, God, you want to put me, blacklist me if you want to.
No, I'm just simply saying that if you advocate socialism, and if you like the idea of robbing Peter
you act as though you advocate. I don't know. It's too twisted. And every talk show host, alternative radio is twisted. It's twisted to conform to the needs of right-wing radio. I think so. And I'm sorry, because you give so much information, and I'm listening.
All right. Well, what is right-wing, then?
I have to avoid your commentaries. You know what?
What is right-wing?
Right-wing. Oh, what ring? That is supporting the capitalist, or as you call them, the capitalist. Yes. And you're doing the same thing under a different banner.
And what is left-wing, then?
It is from each according to his ability to each according to his need.
Okay.
That's always in the dirty, that's the dirty creed of the left.
So if we take this as a right-left continuum, where over on the extreme left, let's say that we have Bakunin and...
Swing from left to right. You swing from left to right. You're quite a swinger.
Hardly.
Quite a swinger. Yeah, you're a swinger, man.
Well, I certainly, you're welcome to your opinion. I'm glad you voiced it. I hope you'll keep listening.
Yes, you're not welcome to your opinion. I don't know why you take good, hard facts and twist them, but that is the mode of the day in this country, and maybe all over the world. I don't know about the rest of the world. But I do know about this world that I live in.
And I thank you for calling in. I hope you'll keep listening and do call again. Thank you. Okay, well, so there we go. That was an interesting call. I'm glad we got it. Are we twisting things here? Are we presenting information correctly? Do we define our terms? Do we take the time to understand what is the state? What is government? What is capitalism? What is demand? What is sustainable development? I think we have. If I could do a better job, well, I can do a better job. If there's someone else out there that can do a better job, let them speak up and speak now. So anyway, back to this, in the last and closing minutes of the day, this again out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, because what we're looking at here is this revolution and counter-revolution. And out of every revolution comes a corollary. It's counter-revolution. Like we said in the past, if you push and push and push, the other party will push back. If you gently pull, the other will gently come with you. But the idea of revolution connotes this pushing. A revolutionary outbreak is likewise preceded by a decline in the power and the prestige of the political authority. And so we're starting to see today a decline in both the power and the prestige of the political authority. Throughout all of the Bush administration, now into the Barry the Usurper administration, the bulwarks are being thrown up through the Patriot Act, the establishment of the Department of Homeland Security, the extension of FEMA's Hazard Mitigation Planning Program, the fusion centers, etc. The bulwarks are being thrown up prior to this revolutionary pushback, the counter-revolution that is anticipated, and it's been war-gamed and strategized out. Simultaneously, our author writes here from the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, simultaneously, there develops among broad masses of people a consciousness of separation from and opposition to the state. And we're hearing more and more and more of that all of the time. People don't like this idea of a police state. And it's not just a United States affair. It's felt in Greece. It was felt in Iceland. It's felt all over the world. So there's a revolution and a counter-revolution. When we look for anarchists, we needn't always find them out there with a towel wrapped around their head. Sometimes they parade around as heads of state. They are again attacking a system of government, and they're looking for a change. They want to transform this country and many of the others around the world into what they consider their new world order, as Gordon Brown has repeatedly stated, a new world order. Weighted by its own weakness and the growing resistance of the populace, the machine of the state gives way at various points until a concerted attack by revolutionary forces results in a complete breakdown. And friends, some people are saying we might see a breakdown in just a few months. Well, we'll pick it up here again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org. Or call 908-691-2608 today.
Amazon.com has become become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.